So great.
This conference will.
Let's jump in. Today I want to talk about the most important activity we're involved in when we're involved in networking, and that is prospecting, right? It's number one. If you're going to grow your business, you're going to prospect. If you're going to be in business, you're going to prospect, because our business is about prospecting. And Joe Rubino wrote a book out there called The 7-Step System to Building a $1 Million Network Marketing Business. And I'm not recommending the book per se, but I took a section of his book out because I liked the area that he did on prospecting. And I think it's important for us because it's important to educate you on some of the things that are happening out there, why your business may not be growing as quickly as you'd like, and give you some ideas about other ways to get out and prospect and how to, you know, what viewpoints to take in different arenas in your prospecting area. Because, you know, prospecting is a huge field. I could give a different talk every week for a year probably just about different aspects of prospecting, right? Does everybody agree? Absolutely. In fact, you know, that's what we're about, is how do we go and share with people, and then breaking the ice, and you could talk about what do you say first and how to close and how to do this and how to find people and how to, you know, how do I get overcome my insecurities, overcoming fear, you know, I mean, on and on and on, right? We just have massive amounts of issues around what's holding us back in this arena and what creates a great network marketer versus somebody that doesn't quite make it versus somebody that fails miserably. And most of that isn't because it doesn't work. Right? It's because it works. I always love that when people say, well, you know, I don't want to do one of those things. I go, what are you talking about thing? You know, and I pursue it because I, you know, for me again, and for you, it ought to be the same way. Every time somebody makes an objection, it's an opportunity for you to educate them. Because if you don't look at it that way, what happens is, let me just highlight this to you because I went over this weekend as well. What happens is if you don't look at objections as opportunities to educate somebody, then what happens is objections get implanted in your own brain. They get implanted in your brain, and then they get implanted in your subconscious. And when you start storing things in the elephant, remember the ant and the elephant we talked about with Vince Pacenti, this tremendous elephant that you're riding on, your conscious state is how many? 2,000 neurons a second, and your elephant's 4 billion neurons a second. So who's in charge? Well, the minute you feed a negative, when somebody gives you a negative about, oh, is this network marketing, and you shrink, what's happened is you're absorbing that information, and you're saying to the elephant, and your elephant's going, okay, it's one of those things, okay, and oh, I don't know what to say, I can't defend myself, okay, you're doing something indefensible. So what you're doing is just feeding more and more negativity into you. Got to stay. Oh my gosh! Don't let other people control or influence your opinions about what you're doing. Got it? You are strong. Be strong in what you are. You're a professional network marketer. It's an incredible business opportunity. It's you know, on and on. You can go on. I could talk about just all the 1,000 reasons why network marketing is incredible. And what you need to do is build that in your rapport so you got that down pat, right? So we want to make sure we're able to be able to respond, and that's why we like to work with people on how to respond to objections. We want to talk to them about them, how they can educate other people. But let's jump in. So that's part of this whole thing. But let's jump in, and, you know, that came across really big in reviewing his book as well and some of the stuff inside of it. But I want to jump in and just talk about some of the critical points that he made that were huge for me and huge for you to understand how the business really works. Because sometimes we sit back and we jump in a network marketing business, and we might have been in 6 other ones as well. And you know what? We're still not making it work because we still don't understand what it is. How can you make something work if you don't understand what it is? Like, how do I assemble a bicycle if I don't have directions on how to do it? I need to have the basic core premise of what this business is about. So we'll start with the idea of leading with business or leading with products. And the reason that's a great topic for this group is because the majority of us in Manatech tend to lead with products. And why is that? Because we have such awesome products. I mean, and we've seen so many differences in people's health. So we love to get out there and talk about these incredible products. And we also have a lot of mechanisms that the company's given us that lead with products. Because if you look at XFMs, that's not really a business prospecting tool. It's because 90% of the people that you're going to collect out of XFNs are typically going to be prospects. Now, there are some people out there signing some all-stars up at XFMs, but not very many. We have the statistics so we know what's coming out of these XFMs. Are they good to do? Absolutely, because we love customers and we can make money with customers. But remember, that whole thing, when you look at those videos and you go through those videos, you're not getting a business presentation. You're getting a presentation of why our foods are so lousy, why we need to make a difference and make a shift, and we have an answer to make that shift. Here it is, Nutrivirus, right? So that's what XFM's about. So we have these ways of introducing people to our business, but they're really more product-directed, and that's the XFM. So we look at it, we can choose business or products. Those who lead with products focus on establishing an extensive customer base. And again, that's lucrative for us today. And from the numerous customers that you get, you're hoping and praying that maybe a few business builders will emerge. And some of us have been, have had the opportunity to convert some of our customers over the last year into associates when they've seen the vision or grabbed onto the vision. And most of my people grab onto the vision not because of the use of the products makes them so excited about the value of the products. It's more because we have business meetings that come along in the area, and they can participate. So they get to be educated about what the business is because it was never presented to them in the first place. So I will suggest that that's what I see happening in my organization. The product users, right? What happens? Let's talk about the people who lead with product. One of the advantages you get is you can develop cash flow on a quicker basis. In other words, if I go out this week and I make 5 presentations, I can probably sign up 5 new customers, right, if I'm making to multiple people. I can sign up 5 new customers, but I'm not going to find 5 all-stars by any means, even though some people like to promote that whole concept. But it's not really the real way of doing the business. It's not really something that most people, that's the way they grow their business. They grow their business on a steady, slow pace when they're trying to find business builders because not everybody's going to see the vision or have the vision for the business. But anyone can have a vision to be healthier. So we can have a more positive response, and some people are saying, well, I'd rather get more people signed up. Great. Well, then approach with the products because you will get more people. So the advantage to approaching people with products is you're going to develop cash flow quicker, but a slower approach to building significant wealth. So if your goal is to build some level of a business and significant wealth or even 1,000 or 2,000, whatever it might be, and everybody on this call should be trying to get to national director by business period 8, right? If you don't know now, you'll know after manifest why that's true. And then waiting for these product users to convert themselves into businesses. Now, what are some other ways that we go out and prospect that are aimed more towards business? Well, if we go after health food stores or integrative health professionals, when you go into a chiropractor's office, although you might look at him as a business builder, most of those people aren't really business builders. They're going to fall in love with the products as well, but they're not going to go out and do, quote-unquote, do the business. Healthcare practitioners rarely go, quote-unquote, do the business because they already are in business. So my chiropractors I work with, they just exclusively want them to help their patients get better. So, again, it's product-driven. You could attend disease support groups. I have people that go out to disease support groups. I don't like them, and I won't go to them because I know that most people that attend, that go to disease support groups tend to be more directed at wanting to, hold on to that label they have. People who want to get better and move on in their life go one time and they're done and they move on. So, but again, you're going after product orientation. Church health seminars, again, product orientation. So that's all those kind of things. And then sometimes people go to, health, what do we call it, fairs. Health fairs would be product oriented, those kind of things. Now, if you go to, how do you shift that? Well, you could lead with the business. That's the other opportunity. And we don't have, I'll be the first to suggest, and that's why I'm working with Manatech and some of the other presidentials here and at Manifest. We'll get together again on building a great business presentation. We have one out there. In fact, I really liked it. I looked at it and sent it out last week to somebody. It's the one on Navigate, the 16-minute piece on Navigate. I thought that one was, I hadn't looked at it for a long while, and I looked at it, and I liked it. It's not complete to me, but it is good, and it's professionally done. You want to put a real professional face to a business presentation, and so you could use that one. But we want to lead with the business opportunity. Those people that lead with the business opportunity, in other words, we're going out there trying to find people who would like to change their lives, and not just from a health perspective, but from a financial perspective. Where are you? What does your life look like financially 4 years from now? You know, ask questions that are more directed towards what they want in life. What do you want in life? What's your dream? I love this question. I used it this weekend at my training. What would you dream if you knew you couldn't fail? What would you dream of if you knew you couldn't fail? I love that. And that's what you need to think about. What would I dream of if I knew I couldn't fail? That's the question. But lead with the business opportunity. Build deeper, more active organizations. That's the results of leading with the business opportunity, because you're going to attract business builders. That'll build deeper and more active organizations, resulting in longer-term residual income. Why? And how do customers come out of that? Well, it's kind of like the opposite direction of leading with the product. Leading with the product, every once in a while a business builder will fall out of it because they'll use the product for 6 months, be associated with you in group meetings and trainings and things like that, and decide to become a business builder. The other option is lead with the business, and people that don't have they don't really see the business value, or they don't want to make a shift, then what they do is they just become consumers because they understand the quality of the product. So consumers are going to drop out of the pool of people not interested in the business. So business builders are usually more interested in earning life-impacting income, right? Because that's why they're choosing the business. They want life-impacting income. So they tend to be more motivated to treat their network marketing business seriously. So some of you get angry about some of your people in your business who aren't serious, and they don't do what they say they're going to do. And why? Because they're really not business builders. They really came in for the products. They love the products, and they're out there sharing products with other people, but they've never opened up the core of sharing the business. When you start sharing the business, now you've become serious about your own business. You're getting serious about motivating others to make a difference in their lives in a significant way and earn life-impacting income. They're also, these people also who come in as business builders are more interested in actively pursuing others interested in the business. They want to be business builder attractors, which we don't have with just people who want to just take the products or just really fall in love with the products, and that's where they are. They don't seem to be as interested or active in pursuing people interested in the business side of it. So, and then some of you are on this call going, "But Mary Jo, I don't want to present the business." And I know it might be awkward for you, but understand what price you pay in network marketing if you never present the business opportunity. You're saying, "I don't mind it. I'll sign up one new consumer a month or two new consumers a month." I remember when I was going out working with chiropractors around the country, and I was signing up like 17 of their patients at one time. And I was helping people on a training one time up in in Iowa, I believe it was. And some gal in the room, she raised her hand. She goes, "Well, Mary Jo, I don't want to sign up 17 people in 1 month." And I looked at her, and I was like, "Why is that?" She goes, if I sign up one or two a month, that's all I can handle." And it was overwhelming to her to think of 17 people in 1 month. I don't know how many are on the call this morning and can say, "I know, Mary Jo, I don't want 17 new ones either." Then I'm going to ask you, the reason it's overwhelming for you is because you have built a business that looks at things so small. Every person you get on board, you have a 25-step process of all these phone calls and how to show them how to use the website and teach them on Success Tracker and that. I mean, you're totally enabling people instead of empowering them. So if you want to grow your business and have 17 new signups in one business period, then what you need to do is you need to become an empowerer, not an enabler. You got to shift how you behave. It's your behavioral pattern that you've established that puts a roadblock into you being an effective business builder. Make some sense? And maybe we do a training on that. If I get enough outrage from the community, we'll talk about how do you bring on a brand new person. So if you can bring on 17 new people in 1 month, yeah, great idea, great concept. You need to know how to do that, otherwise you'll never attract them. Okay, so everybody get the distinction here, business versus products. What are you leading with? How are you doing that? Is there a way you can shift? Are you willing to shift? Or are you stuck where you want to be? Your choice. It's just purely a choice, but know the distinctions and know the differences in terms of how effectively you'll grow. Number two, creating your notification or names list. This is our contact list. He calls it notification names list. There's just ways that you can do it. And of course, we've talked about memory joggers 101 times. And he had another idea about this. He had a couple ideas that I thought were really good about contact list formation. So take these down. Number one, he said, don't just write down the people you know, but write down possible people they know as well. So you already start looking at how they're going to be able to touch others' lives. So what happens is, and I've never done that on a contact list, because you, and it might look something like, oh, I'm going to add, I know Jan Rogers, okay, and that happens to be somebody I actually know, and I'm going to put on here, and she is the head of the Auxiliary Women's Committee. And so she knows all those people, so I could write that down. So you have an idea of their outreach. Who can they reach out to? And I've never done that with a contact list before. I've always just had people write down names, but I like that as an idea. You know, write down also who they may know. Who do they know? So that when you get somebody that has a huge network, you're going to go, wow, that's a really important person, because look at all the people they know, right? And you can get a better idea how important they are. Also, he says he never does this except by computer. He started with a handwritten list, but it got out of control, and it's so much easier to track all the information on a computer. He said then he suggests you go to Yellow Pages and you go through every category, and I've never done that before, too. That's a second major suggestion here for contact lists. Go to Yellow Pages, and for each category, think of who you know, right? And do all that. All right, so that's your contact list. Now, we have a lot of other concepts around contact lists, like Paula Pritchard. I taught and trained you on her three-color system, and I love that as well. Most likely to join, most likely to just see to be a consumer, and then least likely. So that you know who you're contacting first, because you want to have success as fast as possible in your business. That'll keep your attention. Now, start contacting them. This is a big thing. Why are people hesitant? I have brand-new people today. And the first thing I do today, I'm not kidding, I never used it before, but I ship out what? I ship out scripts. I use scripts with new people because I want them to feel a level of comfort. They're uncomfortable, so I send them scripts, and then I teach them to do three-way calls as fast as possible. Get in contact, share some information, do a three-way call. I got a girl on fire out of Lubbock right now. Brandy is doing great. She's got three-way calls. It's just super to see what she's up to. And she's got all in. And she's making waves. She's got some all-stars coming on board. She's got some consumers coming on board. It's just great to work with her. But the scripts helped her a lot because it gave her language to break the ice to get out there. And I was never used scripts in my business until I read Paula Pritchard's book. Right? How long ago was that? 2 months ago. I've been in Manatech for 15 years. I started using scripts 2 months ago. There you go. See how we can shift? How do we become better? Right? So start contacting. Why are people hesitant? Lack of belief in network marketing. If somebody has a lack of belief in network marketing, what do we need to do? We need to help them overcome that. Because if they're stuck, every time somebody objects to network marketing, what's going to show up for them? Their lack of belief. And so they're just going to keep feeding that elephant all that information about, oh, I really don't think it's good, I think it's this, or I have this perception. My gosh, people, there's so much great stuff out there today on network marketing and what it's doing for this country and what it's going to mean over the next 10 years for this country as we shift into entrepreneurial services. Plus, if you're involved in Manatech, you know the quality of products off the chart in network marketing companies. Some have really horrible quality because there's always bad. People go, well, it attracts bad people. I said, oh, really? What happened to Arthur Anderson? What happened to Enron? What happened? I mean, bad people are everywhere. I mean, people have issues around morality in many different walks. It's not network marketing. So it's just our business because there's virtually no, barrier to entry. We can definitely attract all kinds. In fact, I had the other day, this might support you guys. I was working with a chiropractor a few weeks back, and he goes, well, let me tell you my experience around network marketing. And he had this horrific response by somebody who just was totally, basically said, when you get to know Ambertos, you'll never have to do chiropractic again. This is what he was told by a Manatech associate, and he's a chiropractor. And I just looked at him, and I said, well, it just goes to show you that you know, this industry attracts a lot of ignorant people, you know, and I apologize, but that is definitely not the way we feel. You know, I mean, it does. It attracts people who are just ignorant. Can you imagine telling a chiropractor he wouldn't have to do chiropractic anymore if he got to know what amortose was about? Intriguing concept. Anyway, so lack of belief in network marketing. Overcome that. There are plenty of ways of doing that. If you don't have, you know, if you don't have the background to do that, if that's something you need, contact your upline about that or let us know and we'll help you. I have materials I give to people and a, you know, reading lists and stuff like that, but I also, I think I did a training on this at one time, but it always can be used another training. Why network marketing is an incredible concept. And, you know, the other thing you can read is that excerpt that came out of the Wall Street Journal, which is very, very powerful. Lack of belief in their ability to be successful, that's just insecurity. Now, there are people on this face of the earth, there are probably people on this call today that said, Mary Jo, I have a belief problem around my own success. And that, then you need some coaching around that. Because you're not going to be successful in network marketing if you walk into it not believing you're going to be successful. Belief is huge. Read Napoleon Hill's book. I mean, read To Think and Grow Rich. Read the Bible. I mean, our thought processes are huge. We create our thoughts. That's why the Bible's packed full of how we think, things we need to be thinking about and focusing on, right? You know, I love that part where it talks about, you know, but if you don't have charity, you have nothing. If you have this, you have this, 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 but you don't have charity. And what does charity mean in the Bible? Love. You don't have love, you have nothing. So if you're coming from love, wow, the world's just that much better place. So but we tend to put that on the shelf sometimes. We need to focus on that's where we come from. But we need to believe in ourselves. We were created, my best start premise is always we're all created in God's image. So there, he didn't create garbage. He created very competent creators. We are all creators. We're not God. I'm not going into that, you know, offshoot. I'm saying we are creators. We are created. Everything he created is in a multiplication type setting. It's on a reproductive creation type setting. Everything reproduces, we reproduce, but we reproduce in other ways, not just physically having babies. We reproduce in ways that we share love and we share and we serve and we give and we create. And that's who we are. So you can be successful in whatever endeavor. Just come from a heart of passion to serve others, and you'll be successful. Lack of ability to help others. My gosh, why? What is that about? How can you not help others? Well, you can say, well, because I don't know how to do this myself. I haven't been successful. Are you kidding me? Underneath every any unsuccessful network marketer can be a multimillionaire network marketer, right? People are going to be driven to do the business. You can help them, support them, lead, guide, direct them. But the idea is that what you want to do is you want to just be there for them. That's what's most important. If they can't take direction from you, some people can't take direction from me. They find other people in Manatech with whom they have better chemistry with if they don't have chemistry with you. But it's just about building yourself. If I build myself and I work on myself every day of my life, then I'm going to be able to help others. Because I'm working on myself every day of my life, helping myself be a better leader, and that's what we do. We teach people. But those are the things that we, you know, cause people to be hesitant, so we need to work on those with people, and we need to work on them ourselves. Experience call hesitance, and some people have that. I have a hard time calling people. Here's a great thing he had in his book. He said, all you do is ask yourself, with whom would I like to share my success, and with whom would I like partnering? Just ask that question. You guys can type that out and post that up on your bulletin board and just repeat that all day long. With whom would I like to share my success and with whom would I like partnering? That's what I look at when I call somebody. I'm working with a 23-year-old right now, and he's the one that I want to what? Share my success and partner with. Concentrating, again, going back to serving, concentrate on contributing to another's life without being attached to getting them in. That's so powerful because we're always in a mode of contribution. How many do you need in your business? Well, for any given network marketing business, it depends on the business plan. Right now, we need 3 to 4 leaders because in order to get to presidential, we need 3 legs, right? So I tell people 3 to 4 because I'm saying, hey, you know, if somebody drops out, you want to make sure you have 3, at least 3 very strong legs. So 3 to 4 leaders in at least one in each of 3 legs, right? And what's the definition of a lead? That's for our business, particularly with Manatech, but each network marketing business has a different comp plan, so you'd have to understand that first to know what you need. A leader is a business builder who conducts his or her business methodically and on a regular, consistent basis. That means daily activity list. There it is again. Boy, does that pop up everywhere we go, doesn't it? Daily activity list. Follow the company procedures and policies. Attend conference calls, meetings, national conventions, right? Display behavior others would want to aspire to and duplicate. That's a leader. Those are great definitional concepts behind leadership. You develop 4, and then what do? You duplicate. You help them develop their 4. So it's a duplication structure. How many prospecting calls are required to find 4 business builders? Well, that really depends on your ratios, right? Am I signing up 1 person out of every 10? I might be signing 1 out of 10, or I might even be signing 5 out of 10. When people talked about their success at the XFM parties, some of those people were having like 75-80% sign-up, right? Well, if you have that kind of sign-up, but what is it for? It's basically for the concept of, you know, signing people up for product. So you're not really getting the business builders out there. How many? So you need to look at it and say, how many people am I going to have to approach with the business presentation to find a business builder? And that's a ratio that you're only going to know based on your own statistics. For me, it probably takes, I don't know, maybe 25, 35 people. I don't even have my statistic down, but after reading this article, I'm going to keep track of it. Because a lot of people I approach with the business, I don't get very far, or I get, you know, it depends on how far we get, too. The further I get, the more likely I do is get them in. But the idea is, how many do I talk to about the business without getting them in? A lot. And a lot of those become just consumers. But the idea is you have to present the business in order to find those business people. Correct? Otherwise, we just wait and hope and pray they fall out of our consumer base. So presenting the business, and we have to be, you know, proficient at it. So let's say if you're brand new, you're just developing your enrollment skills, it might make a reasonable assumption that 1 out of 100, maybe, that you present to. So assume you commit to 5 quality conversations per day on the business. That's quality conversations, not just sort of presentations, but quality conversations per day on the business. That would, they're very different than making 5 presentations. Presentations would be, I may have to call 20 people to have 5 presentations, right? This is 5 quality conversations per day on the business. That would be 100 per month, and on a very conservative basis, maybe you get 1 new solid business builder, right? Cool. And some of you go, oh, Mary Jo, I can't imagine doing 100 quality conversations to get just 1 person. And I go, why not? If you did this for 4 months, you'd have 4 quality business people. If you did it for 2 years, you'd be a millionaire. There's your question. Why am I not willing to do what the numbers say it takes to get done, right? And then don't forget that it's not just about quality conversations. Follow-up is absolutely critical. And some of you are poor in follow-up, so you need to be better. That's just insecurities in self that typically cause people to be poor in follow-up. You must be diligent in your follow-up because many of the leaders are going to come in on the 4th, the 7th, or even the 10th follow-up conversation you have with them. So stay on board with them. Stay committed. Make the commitment. When's the next follow-up? I'm going to send you some information, just like I do with my 23-year-old. Send him some information. We're going to have a call tomorrow at 12 noon. I mean, this is the way we operate. I never get off a contact with somebody without having the next contact time set up. So follow-up is crucial, crucial, crucial. The famous saying in network marketing, the fortune's in the follow-up. Okay, 3, to ensure your numbers as a business builder, make a regular daily action commitment. Where else have we seen this? We have seen this, all successful professional networkers that were at that recent convention I attended, every single one of them that crossed the stage that had become multimillionaires through network marketing, every one of them, everyone without exception, talked about a daily action tracker, a daily action commitment. It wasn't just a tracker, but it was a commitment of daily activities, certain specific activities. Most of them talked in terms of presentations. One guy did 3 presentations a day. Come heck or high water, he was out there doing 3 presentations every day. And after 2 years, I think he signed up, 82 people, and out of those, 50 are left, and out of those, 4 of them have made him $8 million. But he did it for 2 years, 3 a day for 2 years. Just never gave up because he believed. And he knew it. It's that slight edge concept, right? Just make that difference every day and do it every day. You may not see the results today, tomorrow, a month from now, but we're into instant gratification. So delayed gratification is a concept of the past, although it's incredibly crucial that we step back into delayed gratification to be successful in our lives. So anyway, so make a regular daily, whatever that is for you, you decide what that is, whether it's a 2 quality business presentations, 5 quality business conversations, right, that'll lead to presentations, whatever that is. He says in his book, he says, you can commit to a lot of different things. You can commit to how many calls, how many touches you're going to make, how many contacts you're going to have, how many quality conversations you're going to have. You can have all these things. But the number one thing that's going to drive your business more than anything is if you commit to quality business presentations. That will make a difference, right, on a daily basis. Okay, local versus long-distance prospecting. Now we're just going to jump in and talk about different prospecting concepts because some of you are sitting back and still going, oh, I don't. He talked about local versus long-distance, and of course with today's technology, we can go anywhere with prospecting, and some of us have really stretched ourselves way far and wide. The problem with that is it's much easier for us to start our business in our own backyard. In other words, I keep laughing because I'm out in Lubbock and I'm in Austin. I was in Austin 3 days last week, which was great. We signed up a bunch of new people. We had, 20-some people at the first time we had an opportunity meeting there in years. We had an opportunity meeting on Friday night, and we had over 10 people, 15 people at the training on Saturday, which is great. It's a start. It's the first thing. We just put it out there and tried it. And I did it all by myself, and it was great. And we're going to continue going back to Austin because we are all in Austin. So it's wonderful. So we're going to continue doing that. And I'm doing the same thing in Minneapolis. But I started laughing at myself because I said, Lydia, what are we doing in Dallas? We do have people around here in Dallas that are working the business, but we're not doing, when we have the Tuesday night presentation at Manatech, every corporate every Tuesday night. So we do have a weekly meeting that's available for everybody. But it's true. We probably should be focusing on our Dallas market. It's right in our own backyard, right? I mean, that's the funny part of it. Here I am teaching and training things, and I'm going, what am I doing about Dallas? So Lydia and I, we have our ways, that she puts me out there to talk to people. Every weekend, if I don't get out, she sends me to some kind of art fair or something. But you want to get out there and be in motion, be in action, working with your local area, because it's much easier to strengthen partnerships and team members in your backyard than it is across oceans. So build at home first. As you run out of local leads, then you can talk about expanding to contiguous states or regions before targeting more distant prospecting courses. I think that's wonderful. Other regions, and if you go into other regions like I am, there were probably 1, 2, 3, 4 different presidential downlines at our training on Saturday, and we're setting up a steering committee. We didn't start doing that yet, but next time I come in town, we'll move that direction. In Austin, in Lubbock, we have like 3 different downlines. In Minnesota, we had like 4 or 5 different organizations. You want to set up groups, and so you all support each other, tap into each other's efforts. And then finally, designing your prospecting plan in detail. How do you design a prospecting plan, and why should you have one? Well, you should have one because if you don't have a plan, failure to plan is a plan to fail. And that means you have a prospecting plan. What are you doing every day for prospecting? Well, how are you prospecting, right? So you got to get out there and say, how am I prospecting? What am I committed to creating? And everybody's different. This is why I don't force a specific method of prospecting on anyone. I love the XFMs. I suggest everybody participate in that. But that's just one level of sharing. And once again, what is it about? 90% of it is product-driven. So I really like my people to do business, drive their businesses as well. But XFMs is a way, but some people don't like home parties. I have people in my organization that don't want to do XFMs because they don't like the home party concept, and that's great, then don't do them. But choose other techniques to use because everybody's different, so you can do it. And building your list is a great start for all those who want to share with people that they know. But some people you come across in Manatech, or you come across that you share with, they go, I don't want to talk to people that I know because I've already approached them for 20 other things, right? And it's frustrating. They don't want to do that because they feel like they've already gone to that pond too many times. And they feel like, wow, if I go one more time, they're not going to be my friend anymore. And I go, well, it could be that you're not allowing them to have the best opportunity that you've ever been associated with, but that's a decision you can make. But building that list is terrific. It's a great way to build your business for many reasons, because you really want, if you're getting business, if I get in business, who would I want to bless the most? The people I know, right? I mean, because they're in the people I know group. I want my friends and my relatives and those people to be most highly blessed in what my business is about. But guess what? I don't have one relative actively doing my business right now. Not one relative actively doing my business. And that's okay, because it's choice. I can't force them to do something. If they choose not to do it, they choose not to do it. But I don't happen to have any of my relatives that are actively doing the business. But I do have some, you know, obviously today almost all my friends, my closest friends, are involved with me in my business. I have a tremendous amount of close friends involved in my business. But were they my friends before I started doing the business? That's a good question. Most of them I've grown to know and love as I got to know them in my Manatech business. So it's intriguing. But anyway, but you want to stick with your people, your, you know, contact list that you set up. Cold calling is not for the faint of heart. You must become an expert, not an export. Sorry, there's a typo for you. You must become an expert at rapidly developing rapport while immediately creating value. And that's hard to do. Most people are not very good at cold calling. In Manatech, I've only met a couple that made it to presidential status doing cold calling, where they buy leads and things like that. There are niche-related businesses or approaches that you can secure. I know like Todd Falcone has a great system for approaching realtors, and you can get a hold of his system and decide that you want to do some of that work. But if you're going to do any of these, train yourself and become proficient in it. Don't do it halfway. I find that what happens most of the time is people start doing these kind of things and they put their toe in the water, or they put their first three toes in the water, and they only do it halfway. You want to be all in. You want to become an expert at doing it. You want to memorize scripts. Todd Falcone's is really heavily entrenched in scripting. And I think I even trained on Todd's system in one of my prior Monday calls, so you can look back at that. But you want to become scripted, you want to do it well, because if you don't do it well, it won't work. If you do it really well, it will work to some degree, but it may not work how you want it. You may want to have 20 new business builders in a month. I'm going to suggest if you get one a month, you're doing great. So set your standards a little differently when you work through this cold calling setup, because you're going to be ready to get a lot of no's and a lot of rejection on the phone when you do those kind of things, because they don't know you. You're not taking advantage of that, I know you and I trust you, because that doesn't happen on a cold call, does it? So you have to figure out, what language can I use to bring trust into the conversation right up front, right? Important. I can tell you, I'm working with a gal out of Pennsylvania. I don't know where she was, a referral. I worked with her 2-3 times about her family, helping her get started on products. She's buying $300-$400 worth of products now. She called me. She just started. Her products came in last week. She called me over the weekend saying, I want you to talk to my best friend. Are you getting this? We have this connection of trust and care and joy that is just really cool. And that's the kind of relationship you want to develop, because that's going to breed into her opening up all of her contacts now to Mary Jo, which is wonderful. What do you want? Okay, lifestyle prospecting, the 3-foot rule. Of course, that's, you can find people everywhere you go. What characteristics does this take? You know, it takes characteristics of people that never met a stranger. They're just people, friends I haven't met yet. That's kind of like Mary Jo. I feel that's exactly what I'm all about. I love talking to strangers. We're masters at breaking ice. We constantly or instantly build rapport by talking about whatever seems to come up at that particular time and place. There are people who are adept at asking questions to determine if the suspect, if the prospect is really a prospect in disguise, or the, you know, are you really a potential prospect? They usually have practiced a fluid method of creating an opening with their prospects to look at. Okay, the pitch comes, and the pitch, I use the word pitch even though we don't like to say that, it comes across in kind of a very natural and appropriate manner, right? So the conversations don't feel canned, or they're not full of pushy or invasive issues. They flow naturally in a conversation. That's what you want to develop in those, you know, the lifestyle prospecting. And you just develop them by doing them, right? You can get, there's scripts out there you can use as well, but you want to, scripting can sound like scripting unless you get it down pat in terms of your own flow. They're always prepared with business cards, prospecting packages maybe if you have them in your car. We don't really use audio or video tapes anymore that I can think of. Everything's by email or texting or things like that, which is a blessing in disguise, right? We ask questions that stimulate conversation, you know. So you might be out like somewhere at, you know, at your kid's basketball games or baseball games or something. You say, I think I've seen you at these games before. Do you live or work in this area? Oh, great. Can I ask you what you do for a living? And you see, it's just start, the areas critical to building rapport are typical. Family, where they live. And he came up with FLOP. We're familiar with form, F-O-R-M. He says FLOP. What is FLOP? The difference is FLOP is family, where you live. Where you live is the L. O is occupation, and P is your passion or your hobbies. So you can use form or FLOP anyways, but they're great ideas on how to break the ice. And they're these people that, you know, when you're out there doing lifestyle prospecting, you want to be adept at, you know, making requests that move their prospect along in the evaluation process. So they might, towards the end of talking to them, assuming it's a, you know, you have a more than a 2-second conversation, you're going to say, you know, you have a great personality, and I'm looking for someone just like you to expand my business here in Dallas. The position I'm looking to fill has the potential to be very lucrative for the right person. Would you be willing to just take a look at some information and watch a brief video that describes how our company works? See how easy that is? Simple languaging, very fluid, just flows. And then if you wanted to have a pack, they hand them, but I really don't do much of that. You say, great, let me get your information, and I'll send you an email with a link. And then when should I get back? What night's best for you, Thursday or Friday? What works best for you? And then when they tell you, you go, great, I'm looking forward to calling you then. Have a great day. And you're done. All of that languaging, great languaging, just work through, move people forward. That's what takes it, okay? Does everybody get that? That's your three. And everybody should do that. It's not about people who just have the aptitude. It's about developing the aptitude, because that's a huge piece of your action. I have found my major business builders probably doing just the 3-foot rule, lifestyle prospecting. My biggest leg came from lifestyle prospecting. It was somebody I met at a Staples copy center, right? So you never know, and that's why you want to be there available. Okay, B is advertising for prospects. The most effective ads create rich, value-laden benefits for their readers. You want to make sure they target the people with what is most important for them. And that's because this is what? A need fulfillment business. In fact, Lydia just gave me a quote from Hilton Johnson. She said, if a person does not have a problem you can solve, then you don't have a prospect. I love that. That was kind of cool. And Lydia put on a bunch of the classified ads. We attached them to the outline so you all have them so you can see some of those. You can care to play with those. We've been effective with classified ads. Some of my people have put them on Christian stations, like internet websites, things like that, and they've been effective getting leads that way. But you want to be really careful and use great language, because poor language will lead to poor results. You, when you're advertising for prospects, you want to use great languaging in them. So anyway, so Lydia, like I said, she attached a bunch of those to the outline, so you can take a peek at that if you want some more language. A warning on internet advertising, of course, it's like advertising on the Wild Wild West, so I always suggest people get what? Go get yourself another email address so that you're not getting dumped on and you're only with all sorts of stuff, because people will take your email address and be abusive with it. So get an independent email address that you can feel comfortable you can dump in it. When you display ads, they can be effective but costly. Target people who read the publication. So if you're going after a publication, you want to make sure it's a target. Don't just, you know, put any old ad in any old place. You want to make sure that you have it's powerful language. The testimonials are always good. Of course, you want to make sure they're compliant. Feature an attractive, eye-catching graphic. Those are important. Benefit-driven. Always remember benefits. Benefits sell. Features tell, benefits sell, All right. Radio ads is another thing. Some people have done that effectively. I've never done that. I participated once or twice with people, but we never got a lot of leads from it, so I stopped doing it. Putting ads in. I read one ad that they had in the paper. It said, "Where will you be financially in 4 years?" And they went on, in the past 4 years, they gave a guy's name, Dennis, has built an income that's given him quality free time to spend with his family. Learn how you too can create monthly income streams, adding $2,000 to $8,000 to your bottom line. Enhance the image of your business with cutting edge services. Reduce your tax liability and develop a royalty income. I like that terminology. That can supplement or surpass your current income and provide you with quality free time. And they kind of talked about, just 4 short years ago, Dennis was working 50 hours a week and getting nowhere fast. So you see what he's doing? He's putting language in ads that relates to people. How many people feel that way? A ton. So you're going to get people captivated by it because they feel like they're working 40 or 50-hour work weeks and getting nowhere. They're not getting ahead. They're just continuously falling behind. That's the kind of language you want to tie into so people can see that. And if you're going to do radio ads, effectiveness depends on station, signal, population, density, all of that. So make sure you get in the right place with them. And you, and I think Lydia attached, she couldn't do that. There was a market display ad that was really great. It was, "Where will you be," you being accentuated with italics, "be financially in 5 years? In the last 5 years, the Shields built an ABC company worth millions of dollars. Check it out. They did it part-time. And da, 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 da." And then they give a telephone number. So they had a telephone number you could call. But you use an ad to go to like a sizzle line so people can actually listen to it. Join and have the success that they're having, right? That's not a bad idea, to put a sizzle line inside an ad. Direct mail can work, ultimate cost on there. Television ads I don't advise because they're expensive. Flyers can work. Make sure you're posting it in places where that there's not any local ordinance against it, and you want to produce the right kind of connections. Don't just post anything to say, "I've posted an ad." Psh. Trade shows, conventions, I love them. I do them all the time. My people do them a lot. I think it's a great place to make connections. You can pick up a lot of people there, but make sure you have a beautiful booth. There are a lot of things that you want to make sure are happening for your trade, because otherwise it's not going to be of any value. And let me just run through a few things for trade shows. If you want to take notes on this, it's good. Because if you're going to do that, you want a floor plan. You want to make sure your booth space layout from the convention and coordinator. You want to get a good location for your booth where the traffic flow is best. So avoid back rooms and remote, hard-to-find locations, because then you get no traffic flow. Determine if your focus for the show will be selling products or services to the attendees, or is it going to concentrate on building income. Don't try to mix and match and do it all over the place, because you'll confuse people. So make a choice. That's why I tell people who do products, I say, don't choose Manitech's full line of products. Take 3 or 4 of the products and focus on those, right? Yeah, really focus on it. Extraordinary. And you can always convey, if you're doing products, the extraordinary nature of your products makes it possible for you to have an awesome income opportunity. Make sure your energy is friendly, upbeat, welcoming, professional, and attractive. Low energy presentation, sloppy dress, food in the booth, amateurs displays, all this stuff totally undercuts you. So make sure it's professionally done. And so if your intention is to prospect for distributors, for creating income, you want to have like an attractive banner or a sign that speaks to your income opportunity. You can do that through Kinko's. And some of those signs might be exactly the language that he used. Where will you be financially in 4 years? Work at home and earn what you're worth. Distributors wanted, earn a full-time income with a part-time effort. A lot of people love that language. Work from home on your computer. Partners wanted for lucrative expansion into Dallas area. Entrepreneurs wanted, share in our company's profits. Earn a dream income from home, right? Things like that. And set your booth up in a U-shape if you have an opportunity to do that. That's more welcoming and more feeling like you're part of something. Have one or more distributors working in the aisles. I always do that to get curiosity. Plus, a lot of the people that I found at these kind of events are other booth operators, people operating other booths. So you can collect leads from them as well. I like to do professional videos or DVDs looped from a computer, like have a video presentation, and free drawings are important. That's a way to get people's names and information. So those are the kind of just ideas, and signage is important, setup is important, communicate as a professional, successful image. That's what you want to portray. If you don't have that, people aren't going to be, not going to be attracted to you. Leads list, again, buying leads list, I don't do that at all. I did it. I did a program with it for 3 months years ago. I structured it beautifully. I got hired a professional to give us coaching on a weekly basis on Sunday nights, and I did it for 12 weeks. And I brought in people at the regional level, national, executive, and presidential. So I had people at all levels of in network marketing. And we did, I think we bought something like 100 leads a week or something, 150 a week during that 12-week period. We got a big discount on them for our program. And I signed up one person out of it, and I think the maximum somebody else signed up were two, and it was what I call failure. So I'm not a big leads list person, but some of you do operate from leads, and that's okay, but you got to be really effective and know how to do it. You also have to take rejection very well. And then press release is another one. Successful prospecting systems must be what? Three criteria. Number one, you have to have duplicatable, because you're going to be teaching and training out there, and you want to make yours is duplicatable. Number two, you professionally produce and communicate quality, longevity, and success. Right? Quality, longevity, and success, so it's not a fly in the pan type operation. And they need to be inexpensive to acquire and use, because new distributors need to be able to get access to them, especially those on a limited budget, which are the majority of people coming in network marketing. Limited budget. They're looking for a business opportunity, limited budget. How can I make this happen? Okay, people, that's it. I just gave you a bunch of languaging. So you got some scripts. You got some classified ads. You can look at those, see if they help you out. I am all in. I know one thing. We need to be prospecting. So if this helped you a little bit and getting back on track, thinking of new ideas for you, just to get back on track with prospecting and being out there in the marketplace, talking to people, doing what it takes to share our vision in our direction with as many people as we possibly can. Any questions by anybody? Any issues? Did this help? Yeah.
Mary Jo, this is Rebecca. I just want to, this is nothing related to the call, but I have somebody in my downline that's trying to get a ride from Kansas City. Does anybody know anybody?
Kansas City. They need a ride back and forth to manifest from Kansas City.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll just put, if anyone has any information, send it to Rebecca. You want to give an email address, Rebecca?
Yeah. Rlavrenz, R-L-A-V-R-E-N-Z.
At iCloud.com. Okay, there you go, people. If you got anyone in Kansas City, you might try talking to Jeff Allen and or you might get in touch with Wendy Kramer, two presidentials that I know have people in Kansas in the organization. Rebecca, I have some new people that have people up in Kansas, but I don't think any of them are coming to manifest, but let me see if I can't get a hold of them too. I'll make a call for you. Okay.
Okay.
If I get it.
Right.
I'll give you a. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Great. Yeah, we want them there.
Yeah.
Amen to that. Anyone else? Okay, everybody, get excited and be excited. Have a great week. Go out and prospect. And for those of you coming into manifest, boy, that 3-foot rule is huge. You got a ton of people at airports, on airplanes, you're coming to Dallas. You want to, oh my gosh, you live in the Dallas area. Great. I'm from out of town and I came here because I'm interested in expanding my business. See, you can say, I'm here because I'm interested in expanding my business in the Dallas area. Do you happen to know of anyone who might like to be interested, in an entrepreneurial endeavor that could earn them on a part-time basis $2,000 to $3,000 extra dollars monthly? Do you know anyone? Can you give me a referral? Right? This is the languaging. I want you guys to commit. You guys come in a manifest. Commit to me that you're going to do that like 20 times while you're here for 3 days. If not 20 times a day, 20 times while you're here. Right? You got the language. Use the scripting. Just make it, wow, natural as possible. And that's easy when it's a few sentences to make it really flow easy. Go out there and do it. I know you can. Okay, everybody, love you all, and see you on Thursday for all of you manifestors. Have a great week, and talk to you next Monday with our wrap-up of Manifest. Okay, bye, everybody.